Canada won the Davis Cup for the first time ever, the major men's international team competition in tennis. So we wanted to spend some time on that. And who better than our friend John Horn, tennis commentator, tennis analyst, joining us to talk about the impact of that on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, John?
I'm doing well. Actually, the Davis Cup finished like literally moments before Canada scored that first goal. So the timing was actually quite all right. I thought they were going to roll the Davis Cup winning the title into winning the soccer, but it didn't quite happen. Started well, but didn't quite happen, as we all know.
No, unfortunately, yes. But I mean, yeah. as a guy who's so invested in tennis as you are, does it kind of cheese you off a little bit that such a major win for Canada has been? I think it's fair to say, outside of tennis fans, largely overlooked.
Yeah, I mean, the Davis Cup has always been a bit of a struggle in terms of finding its place on the calendar, even for the tennis fans, for the players as well. I mean, the players have really struggled over the past few years to participate. I mean, as you know, the schedule starts in January and it goes right through until November. They have very little time off, and it's difficult. And I know a lot of players are torn because you want to represent your country. It's kind of like the Olympics for tennis. You know, you want to represent your country. You want the country to do well, and you want people to be proud of you. And for a lot of players, you know, outside of the majors, Davis Cup is actually a big deal for a lot of these players. Like, they really get behind it and they look forward to it. And Canada won the Junior Davis Cup in 2015, you know, with Denis Shapovalov and with Felix Auger-Aliassime. So they know how important this is. And the event's been around 109 years, and for Canada to win it the first time, it's a pretty cool deal. So, yeah, unfortunate that, you know, maybe not as many people knew about it as we would have liked, and just the way the calendar goes. And, you know, for the casual tennis fan, most people who watch tennis just on an occasional basis, they really look at the four Grand Slams, and, you know, sometimes only just Wimbledon and the U.S. Open is kind of when they watch tennis. So it kind of gets buried a little bit just because of the time of the year, and the season's pretty much over. It's really the last event of the year. It's unfortunate it doesn't get the play and the attention that maybe it deserves. But the format is cool, and it's fun to watch. I'm a little disappointed that they don't get to play, you know, the home events at their home arenas. Now they've changed the Davis Cup a little bit where, you know, when you play the finals, it's always played at one venue. So it's been in Spain, and it'll be in Spain next year as well. So it would have been kind of neat if Canada got a chance to actually win it on home soil in Ottawa or Edmonton, Vancouver, Toronto, and fill an arena up and have 10,000 people cheering them on. But they had a good showing from people who came to visit, so that was cool. But you're right. It just doesn't get really the attention that it probably should, and it's kind of the way it is with tennis and how long the calendar is, unfortunately.
Felix now up to number 6 in the world. What kind of a close to the season he has had, not just with this, but with winning multiple, I think, 4 in a row on the tour?
Yeah, I mean, he's had a remarkable year. He won his first tournament earlier this year, then won 3 in a row. He had a 16-match winning streak. Can't say enough good things about what Felix has done this year. Career high number 6 in the world rankings. He won 60 matches, only one fewer than Stefano Tsitsipas did on tour for the most on tour. I think he's going to be in the running for player of the year this year. Whether he wins it or not, I'm not sure, but he certainly should be in the running. He's had a phenomenal year. He went 5-0 in the Davis Cup singles. Won a couple doubles matches in Davis Cup too. So, you know, I think this is, you know, it's kind of hard to say or stupid to say right now, this is his coming out party, because we've talked about him for a few years now, but this really was his coming out year. And I think, you know, the next thing for him is to win a Grand Slam. I don't think it's a matter of if it's going to happen, it's going to be a matter of when it happens. So we might see it next year, but maybe he can parlay this year into a good start in Australia and maybe win the Australian Open. We'll have to see.
With tennis analyst John Horn, Canada wins the Davis Cup on Sunday. So we know that Chapo battled injury, but was there, and obviously Felix clinched it for Canada. So we had our two best guys participating mm-hmm. on the single side. I didn't track it closely, John. Did a lot of the other countries that were in the running, especially toward the end, did they have access to all of their top guys, or was it a bit of a watered-down field?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, it was a bit of a watered-down field. This is kind of the unfortunate part about Davis Cup. We talked about it earlier. After you've had an 11-month season, it's kind of hard to, you know, step up and represent your country even one more time at the end of the year. Players are banged up and they're tired, so I know Australia, who kind of played in the final, didn't have Nick Kyrgios. He didn't play. I know a couple of the players on Australia were kind of upset that he wasn't able to do it, but he decided not to play. So they only had, you know, Alex de Minaur, who's a really good player in his own right. He's a top 20 player as well. But he was there. You know, Spain didn't have Rafael Nadal. Italy didn't have Matteo Berrettini. Only played doubles, didn't play singles, didn't have Yannick Sinner, who's their top player in singles, too. So, yeah, I mean, it was a watered-down field a little bit. But, you know, the one big thing about the Canadian win is that they actually weren't supposed to actually be in the finals because they had to qualify to get into the finals. They actually lost back in March to the Netherlands. So the only reason they got in is because Russia was knocked out of the tournament, or pretty much kicked out of the tournament for everything that's been going on with Ukraine. So Canada got a wild card in, and then they won their qualifying in the finals, and then they got to the final eight. So they kind of got lucky. It's in tennis, it's kind of the lucky loser kind of way of getting in and taking advantage of it. So you know, full credit for them. I mean, I thought they played really well, even if some of the teams were undermanned. But yeah, it would have been nice to have all the top players there to put a total, you know, legitimate win beside it. Although I can't take anything away from what Canada did. They played really well and were fully deserving.
You look at Alcaraz, 19 years old, number one ranked player in the world, the Spaniard. If you look at this as kind of a collision course going forward, is he and Felix kind of a two-headed monster as the future of tennis?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to think so. I mean, they had a couple of really good matchups this year. They play, actually, Felix beat Alcaraz when he was the number one, after winning the U.S. Open, he was the number one player in the world, and he beat him twice after that. So Felix has already got the upper hand on him. But yeah, I mean, Alcaraz is a phenomenal player, an exciting player. He does so many things well. He moves so well. He's exciting. You know, he can play all over the court super well. So I really like his style of game. I think he's fun and entertaining to watch, and he's for sure the future of tennis along with Felix. I think there's some other guys, you know, out there. I mentioned Yannick Sinner is a really good player. I think when Sasha Zverev gets back to full health, he'll be right in the mix as well. There's still a lot of really good young players who are coming up the ranks as well. You know, there's a good young American core who's out there. Taylor Fritz is one of those players who's got into the top 10 this year, won a few tournaments. So there are a lot of good players on tour, and I think you know, the Alcaraz and the Ojeda Aliassime, you know, head to head, I think will definitely be one of those ones we're going to have to watch, and it's going to be exciting. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, Federer being gone from the men's game, and you know, Nadal probably winding down soon, and you know, Djokovic still seems to be going guns blazing, even though he's getting a bit older. But I think tennis is in a really good place on the men's and women's side. There's just so many good players, and the competition is really strong. And you know, even though the Federer, Djokovic, and Nadal draw so many eyeballs and the ratings and so forth, I think there's going to be a lot of good young players that you're starting to see come out now, and Alcaraz leads the way, and I think tennis is still in a good place.
You know, it's hard to say, you know, based on, again, the overall lack of coverage, what impact this might have. We always talk about when Canada does well in some sports and wins world competitions or whatever, the impact of, hey, there's a kid watching at home say, hey, I can be that. I want to take, in this case, tennis lessons or whatever. As we've seen, some good young tennis players, in particular Felix and Dennis on the men's side and on the women's side, obviously, as well. Are you hearing about numbers increasing in terms of young tennis player, you know, people joining, that sort of thing in Canada? Is there any evidence, be it anecdotal or otherwise, to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tennis as a sport is being picked up by a lot of people. I think COVID actually helped that because it was one of the sports where people could go out and actually play outside with limited contact with other people. And other than really touching the tennis balls, there was really no contact with people. So I thought that was a good way that people started to get into tennis and people really started to pick up the game. From all accounts, from what I've found out from people I've spoken to in British Columbia as well as Ontario and Quebec, that the tennis numbers are up for sure, that there's more kids starting to play the sport, which is great. I think it helps when you know, Felix and Dennis are showing well in the sports, and I think a lot of kids really like the way Shapovalov plays. It's sort of that guns a-blazing, you know, the one-handed backhand jumping up in the air and the roars and that kind of thing, which is kind of the opposite of what Felix does, a little bit more low-key. But I think the kids, you know, they like that kind of stuff. And, you know, I got three kids of my own, and my two boys are always saying, you know, we like sports that are fun and entertaining, and there's a lot of action. That's why they love things like X Games, and they love things where people are jumping high or, you know, running faster. They don't want the slow sports. And I think, you know, when you see good players out there who are exciting, like an Alcaraz, like a Denis Shapovalov, it kind of gets them into it, because it's not always the most entertaining sport to watch if you just pick a couple players and, you know, but they like the big serves. They like They like to see the one-handed backhand. They like to see the screams and the roars. That's why Nick Kyrgios gets so much attention. I mean, say what you want about the guy, but he draws eyeballs just by the way he plays and just by his emotion on the court. So I think tennis is in a really good place, and I think that a lot of people are, you know, watching tennis on TV, and they're going, well, hey, you know, this is kind of a fun sport. It's not super expensive. I can go down to my local courts and, you know, hit some balls, and you can get a racket at a reasonable price, and you don't have to wear all whites everywhere you go anymore, so you can wear whatever you pretty much want. Just get a pair of decent runners that aren't going to mark a court and get a racket and go out there and have some fun. So the numbers seem to be up, and I think people are, you know, are enjoying tennis and watching it, and it's great to see.
All right, and obviously a great result on Sunday. John Horn, you can follow him on Twitter at SportsHorn, tennis commentator and analyst. Really appreciate the time and the insight as always, John. Thanks a lot.
No problem. I never thought we'd be talking tennis in November, but
it seems to
go on all the time. But it's hard to believe it's going to be a month away from the new season. So looking forward to that, and I'll come back on and we'll talk about the Australian Open, I'm sure.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There's John Horn joining us in the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. Gabriel Pizza, the official pizza.